You guys blessed?
Amen.
Good. Because when Jesus does it all, that's the only answer.
That's right.
I'm actually on my third time through. I've been reading Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee. And I don't generally read books by other people just because I don't necessarily know if I can trust them. And if you guys haven't read that book, it's spot on. And there's so much meat in it, it's hard to get it all. So every time I read it, I get something new. But it's good because it's all about, man, it's all God. It's like God does it all. You're like, nobody says that. Nobody says that but my dad. It's like, no, God does it all. It's like, golly. Even when, you know, he's like, and it was funny because it says, I get in arguments with people online about stuff and they always bring up good points and you don't have answers for it. You're like, well, why did God bring all this bad stuff on earth and everything? But God always puts things in front of me that answers those questions so that next time it comes up that I have an answer for it. And I'm always like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. I was watching a little thing about, one of my favorite topics is evolution because it's a load of garbage and I like to watch people debunk it. Because it's funny because you go, I know all the right answers, and then somebody will bring it up and you go, I don't know how to answer that. And I'm like, I know it's garbage, but I can't answer why it's garbage. So because they, you know, they always have all the science. For those of you online, I was putting up air quotes. Not science. It was interesting because one of the things the scientist said was, and it's really, you have to be a believer to have this for, to be a real answer or anything, but there was no death before Adam. So the earth can't be millions of years old because things had to have died. And so it's like death did not come until Adam and Eve sinned. But what's so interesting is God toiled for 6 days. And on the sixth day, he created man, and then he rested. So man was not created until it was time to rest. And so immediately, we want to do something. Kids want to do something. I can do it, Mom. No, just rest. I'm the parent. Let me do it. I've already done this for a long time. I know what's going on. But we're always wanting to do it. And you have to rest before you can do anything. And even when you do it, it's already him. He's already done it. So it's like he did it at the beginning of the world, and you get credit for it. That's what's nuts. It's like, wait a minute, I didn't actually do anything. You did it, and you're blessing me. You know, one of the things the book said is so powerful to me. It talks about the prodigal son, and it's like he says, when the prodigal son comes back, the father doesn't shame him for all the waste he did and everything, and then he goes, he has so much wealth, he just wanted to bless him with more. It's like, no, I just wasted my entire inheritance. He's like, I know, here's more. It's like, that's God. That is so God. And we need to understand that. It's like, we're going to be stupid and God knows we're going to be stupid and we're going to be wasteful. And God's like, you don't understand the abundance that I have. And I was thinking this, God created an entire universe for us. What kind of abundance is that he could create? Because people go, well, there's got to be aliens out there or something. God wouldn't just create an entire universe for us. Like, why not? He has everything. He has everything, and he can, and it would seem, well, that's just wasteful. I mean, it's just out there, and there's nothing living out there. It's just for us to look at? Yeah. Why not? God has so much that he can do that. So we think this big, and God's like, yeah, you don't even understand it all. You can't even grasp everything. So it's amazing. So we need to, that is a big thing. Until you learn to sit still, you know, God's waiting for you to stop helping. And as soon as you stop, because he gave us free will. People go, it was funny because when you argue with the evolutionists, they'll go, well, what? Why God can't be real. I mean, why there's war and kids dying of cancer and everything. It's like, well, no, this isn't the world that God created. The world that God created was perfect. And then we sinned and all this junk came into the world. So war and evil and hate and sickness It all became because we sinned, because God said, I'll give you free will to follow me or to do what you want. And we said, hey, let's do what we want. I mean, it wasn't even long. We're like, yeah, we want to be like you, God. We want to rule this deal. And then we messed it up. And so when they go, well, why did God? And you're like, no, we did this. We're the ones that created war. We're the ones that allowed sickness to come in and weeds to come in the garden. We did that because God gave us a free choice. He said, choose me or choose yourself. And we go, I like myself. That was dumb. Man, can you imagine how nice it would be if we were just all in the garden? And I was thinking this the other day. I was like, because we always think of trees. I'm thinking, but there was probably vegetables there too. I mean, there's probably, you just go and pick some broccoli and just start eating broccoli, you know? It probably wasn't just trees, you know? Because it was a garden. You know, what do you have in your garden? I have a fruit tree, but I have lots of lettuce and broccoli and vegetables. You know, it's like, it was probably wasn't just trees. That'd be kind of boring after a while. Well, another pear. Some more manna. It's probably pretty tasty, though. Oh, man. Hallelujah. So we need to learn to rest in God. I mean, that's what it says. It says, enter into my rest. Because we were made to... And it's funny because he said, you know, there's a scripture, and I heard someone say the other day, because I always think, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, he says. And we assume to mean that our burden was hard. And he's like, your burden's easy. I'll take care of that too. It's like, but mine's easier because it's already done. And you're like, okay. John chapter 20. So I'm going to get into my phone here in a minute because I know I have a few things to read. This is the last, I think it's 20, because it's the last chapter. 21, sorry. John chapter 21, the last chapter. I was thinking this, because to me, everything I see in the world relates to God. Light and sound and plants. And it all just, you know, you could see as people who are afraid to say God, you could see intelligent design in everything. And there's no way it just happened. There's no way it just happened. I mean, everything is the same. You know, Melissa will know this, but, you know, there's music. Music is, it goes in frequencies. And you go, if you go from this C to this C, it's the same frequency, but it's doubled. And it just, and it all works and all the notes work. And it's like, it's too organized. There's no way that just happened. You know, the sound just happened like that. And light is the same way. You know, it's in wavelengths. And I always think it's funny. I don't know if anybody's, I'm sure somebody else has had this idea, but you know, you get in the ocean and you get pushed around by the waves. But have you ever had a flat tire and you've been on the side of the road and a semi drives by and you feel it? That's because the semi is a solid object driving through molecules of air, and it's pushing that air away. So it's just like the ocean. It's just, and it's moving. And it's like, it's everything is the same, and it's all frequencies and wavelengths. And it's like God created all that, and it's amazing. Anyway, so when you eat, you should take your time and eat slowly and enjoy the meal and taste everything, which I don't. My mom doesn't either. We vacuum our food. But my dad was a slow eater. It was obnoxiously slow. We'd be done for like 30 minutes and he'd still be on like the second thing. We're like, come on, Dad. It's better, you know, it tastes better. It's better for your body. You know, your body doesn't have to do so much work to break it down. This is the same way with the word. You need to chew on it. You need to savor it. You need to understand it. You know, because if you just, if I notice when I'll get a revelation, you go, oh, here's my revelation. But if you don't chew on it, you don't get everything out of it. It's good and it's powerful and it's amazing. You're like, wow, the revelation. But then that's just it. But if you chew on it and you go, well, you know, what are you trying to show me, Lord? And it's just like, it just opens up more and more and more and more. And you're like, wow. And so that's the way we should be with the word. We need to not just get a revelation and then we need to chew on it and see what God was trying to show us completely, because there's so much more to it. So you just, and it is fun. And I know that for a fact. you know, God will say, here's thus and so, and then he'll show you something else, and then he'll show you something else. And so don't just be happy with, even though that's good, and it was amazing, that revelation, just get ready for all to chewing on and just getting more and more out of it. Anyway, let's see what else is in here. Now let's just get into the Word. It's good. I'm sure there's something else. I read a little bit into chapter 21 last week because it was good. I just didn't feel like I needed to stop because it, and then it was talking about when Jesus came out and it came and told him again. And I always thought this is a weird thing. Why would Jesus again? The disciples went fishing all night and didn't catch anything, and then he shows up and says, "Toss your nets on the other side." And it was weird. I just had this, as I said it, as I read it, and it was like, it was Jesus showing us. He's like, you're now, because the first time he did it, it was a miracle. They needed the fish. And the second time he did it, it was like showing them, you guys are about to be fishers of men, and you're gonna have catch multitudes. And I was like, wow. Because, I mean, I always thought, why did he do that miracle twice? He did that miracle twice. Like, that didn't make any sense. But it was like Jesus showing them, you're about to be fishers of men. I'm about to go away, and now it's your turn. You're about to catch multitudes, so get ready, because it's going to be powerful. And I know we're in that time right now, and I've had visions from God. There are going to be, the world is going to get even crazier, and people are going to be seeking the truth, and we're it. You know, we're the people who are going to show them the light of Christ, and they're going to come by the droves, because they want the truth. And it's going to be incredible. I've multiple times I've had visions of the church packed wall to wall, where there was just standing room only, and just people were worshiping. And the last one I had, now Clay knows about it, the last one I had was awesome. I was actually sitting in the pew, and I didn't understand why I wasn't preaching. God was telling me, I was some guy up there was preaching, and it wasn't me. I was like, why am I? But people were just worshiping God. And God was like, just rest. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then I watched my dad walk up and just start worshiping on the stage. And it was, somebody asked me, well, was he like there or was it? And I'm like, I don't know. I was like, he was kind of glowing. So I'm thinking it was his spiritual, you know, renewed body. But he just had so much peace and joy. It was awesome. So anyway. So I'm going to start with verse 1. And after these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself this way: Simon Peter and Thomas, being called the twin, and Nathanael from Cana and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going out to fish. And that's what we do, you know, when everything seems to be falling apart or you're tired, whatever, you just fall into your old habits. I'm going to go out and fish. You know, it's whatever your old habit is. That's what he was doing. I'm going to go out and fish. I need to think. And they said to him, we also are coming with you. And they went and entered into the boat at once. And in that night, they caught nothing. And it now becoming early morning, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, do you not have anything to eat? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast your nets into the right side of the boat and you will find. And then they cast and they no longer had the strength to draw from the multitude of fish. You know, so this time they didn't question him. You know, last time they're like, what? That just sounds dumb. We've been fishing all night. You remember that? We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. You mean throw the net on the other side? This time he said, throw it. And they just immediately, they're like, okay, let's do this. And then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, I always think that's funny. That's John saying that because John wrote this book. The disciple who Jesus loved, that's what he calls himself. That's awesome. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then hearing that it was the Lord, Simon Peter girded up his coat, for he was naked, and threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little boat, and they were not far from land. I like Peter. Peter's like, I'm not even waiting until we get to the land. He just jumped in, and he was going right to Jesus. That's the way we need to be. Just go right to Jesus. Don't put your clothes on. Don't fix up. Don't stop doing bad stuff. Just go right to Jesus. Jesus, here I am. I love you. And he's like, I know. I love you too. Only about 200 cubits dragging the net of the fish. And then when they went up to the land, they saw a coal fire lying and the fish lying on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring from the little fish which you caught now. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net into the land full of big fish, 153. And though being so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said, come, break fast. And no one of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. So they knew. They already knew. It's like, you know, it's so funny. And how many times in my life you wonder, is God real? And you have that kind of doubt in your head. And then it comes in, you're like, oh, God is real. I know God is real. And first of all, they just saw another miracle. They're like, well, this is obviously God. I'm sorry that I doubted. And you kind of beat yourself up. God's like, it's okay. I love you. Don't worry about it. And then Jesus came and he took the bread and he gave to them. And in the same way, a little fish. And this now is three times that Jesus was revealed to his disciples, he being raised from the dead. So God, you remember God's whole design for us is to be his bride. And the bride, you know, the wrong church will say that the bride is supposed to submit. And they, you know, we know from Dad that it's not that kind of submit. It's submit, not submission. So we're supposed to just tell God what we need and what our desires are. And that's awesome. So we're not supposed to work. We're supposed to just be blessed. What's cool, though, is when you're in love with someone, you want to help. You want to do things. You want to be by their side. You want to, like Gabby wants to help me. Dad, can I help you? She's not going to do a good job of helping. It's probably going to take me three times as long with her helping. But she loves me and she wants to be near me, unless she's angry at me and then she wants to be near Mom. Because I'm the more stern one. I don't let her get away with anything. But that's just the way it is. And when you're in love, you want to be with and do with, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. You just want to be there and do that, you know, with them. And so that's God is saying, I've already taken care of it all. I've made the meal. I've prepared the house. Just come and rest and be with me. And they're like, what? No, what do I have to do? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, no, being men, you just don't, like there's a saying, you don't get something for nothing. There's always a string attached. And there's not with God. There's no other being on earth or in heaven or in the universe or whatever that's that way. There's always a string attached. And with God, there isn't. God is just like, no, I did it all for you. I created you to bless you. I want to bless you. I have everything. You don't need to bring anything. There's a big TV star has her own channel and magazine and everything. And she heard one time that God was jealous of her. And she thought, and which is stupid because God is not jealous of us. She totally did not understand that scripture. God is jealous for us. He, you know, when you create something, you know, you want to, I don't know, your desire is for it to have the best. And when they don't choose the best, it hurts you. You're like, Gabby, just obey me and it will go well. And if you don't obey me, then think you might get hurt or you're going to be missing something. It's like, I already understand. I've been here. You know, God's like, I've been around for forever. I know I created this universe. I know how it works. Just trust me. But it's so dumb, even though our parents tell us to do this and not do that, we still have to try it. It's like, why? It's like, they already made the mistake. Why don't you just listen to them and go, yeah, I'm not going to make that mistake. And that, isn't it funny that we always make the same dumb mistakes our parents usually did? It's like, why didn't you just listen to them? I think that's my humor thinks that when the Ten Commandments was, you know, obey your parents and, you know, your time will be longer. I always think it's because honor your parents. I think it just means it's like, hey, if you listen to your parents, you're going to live longer because they already made some mistakes and you won't have to make the same mistakes and just trust them. It's like, it was just practical. I think God is spiritual, but I think he's also practical. I think he's got a sense of humor and he's doesn't do things arbitrarily. So anyway. And then they broke fast, and Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. Again, he says to him, secondly, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he says to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And thirdly, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved that he had said this to him a third time. Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you perceive all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you desired. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and will carry you where you do not desire. And he said this signifying by what death he would glorify God. And having said this, he told him, follow me. But turning, Peter saw the disciples whom Jesus loved following them, who also leaned to his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one betraying you? Seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, what is the one? And Jesus said to him, if I desire him to remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me. Therefore, the word went out and the brothers that the disciples does not die. Yet Jesus did say to him that he does not die. For if I desire him to remain until I come, what is that to you? I was thinking about this because this is craziness. So you remember when the Israelites were in the desert and Jesus said, your shoes and your clothes will never wear out. We think so. We don't understand that God can do things that are just ridiculous, that don't make any sense. So my shoes wear out every 6 to 8 months and I have to buy another pair, you know, because I work in them and they wear out. These people were walking around in a desert for 40 years and their clothes and their shoes never wore out. You know, Jesus said, if I want him to be around until I come back, he'll be around until I come back. We just don't understand that God can just do things that you know, because we have all these laws of science, and God's laws are way above laws of science. You know, whether or not you believe in the flat earth or the round earth or gravity or what's that? My friend always says, mass and density. He goes, it's not gravity, it's mass and density. I'm like, okay, awesome. I don't agree or disagree because I'm not God. I was talking to a young fellow yesterday and he was talking about going into space. And I said, I don't know if we've ever been to space. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I don't even know if we can leave the atmosphere. So I know our government says we have, but I don't know that we have. I haven't done it. I haven't physically been there. I haven't seen someone do it. I've seen pictures, but I've also seen movies of things that look very realistic that are not. So it's like, I don't know. I understand that man is deceptive. God tells me trust no man. It's like, yeah, only trust God. Man always has a, like I said earlier, man has a purpose, has a reason for doing something. You don't ever get anything for free from man. Man wants your attention or your money, or they want you to be a slave, or that, you know, they want you to make them feel better about themselves. Man always has something that they want from you. God is the only person that says, I have given you everything and I don't need anything from you. I just want you to take my free gift. That's funny, because I was thinking about that, because I was thinking about the Calvinists this morning, because the Calvinists say, well, God predestined you and you and you, but not you. It's like, no, no, no. God foreknew. He already knew from the beginning of time who would choose him and who would not choose him. So he didn't predestine anybody. He had foreknowledge of who was going to choose him. Amen. I mean, I can't even imagine having that mindset to go, I mean, if you go, well, I hope I'm one of the chosen. I mean, that would put a lot of fear into you. I mean, that's like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They believe that only a certain amount of people go to heaven. And they're like, well, I'm not going to heaven. I'm like, well, how do you know you're not one of the ones going to heaven? Well, I'm just not good enough. And I'm like, none of you are. It's like, don't you understand who God is? You have to be perfect. Are you perfect? Well, no. Then you're not, definitely not, you know, going to get to heaven without Jesus. And since you guys have a wrong idea of who Jesus is, it's funny, because I've talked to many of Jehovah's Witnesses who, like, left the Christian church. And I go, why? And they go, well, they have so many answers. I'm like, they do not. They made up answers to questions that you had, but they're all made up. So that they're, you go, why would somebody do that? And it all just boils down to the devil and creating a religion for deception. You know, he'll take something that, there's a guy named Hegel, and he invented this thing. He didn't invent it, but, you know, he popularized this thing where you take something good and you take something bad and you smash it together and you get a third thing that looks good, but it's bad. It's called the Hegelian dialect. It's dialecticism. It's where you take a good thing and a bad thing and you make a bad thing. Because you can't, you know, a bad thing and a good thing can't make a good thing. It's always going to be bad. But it looks good to us. So that's the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and, you know, but all those, you know, all those religions, the only religion that is different is Christianity. Every other religion is works. It's all works. It's all like, you do it. If you don't do it, you ain't getting in. You be good. You know, like the Hindus are like, if you crush a fly, when you get reincarnated, you're going to be a fly because you crush that fly. I mean, who came up with that garbage? That's just stupid. You know, you just made that. I mean, I can come up with some fantastic things in my head. Boy, I mean, L. Ron Hubbard said before he died, he said, one of the greatest things you can do in life is create your own religion. He knew it was fake, and he tricked a bunch of people into falling for it. And they're still doing it to this day. That's Scientology, for the guys that don't know. I don't remember that. I remember the commercials when I was a kid. Dianetics! And there was volcanoes exploding in here. And they believe that aliens came down and they made people and they watch over us. And like, that's just stupid. But he knew it was stupid. And he tricked all those people into giving him their money. That's awesome. I mean, more power to you. The funny thing is I don't, people who aren't believers, I don't fault them. I mean, they're not believers. They don't understand the truth. I want them to know the truth. But their whole mindset is wrong. They're not, their picture of this world isn't God. It's me, you know. It's all humanism. It's all like, I've got to be the best person I can be. And when I leave this earth, I want, you know, some people want to be known. Like, I one thing I don't understand is, like, you drive by a hospital and it's got some guy's name on the side. I'm like, if I gave a bunch of money to the hospital, I would not want my name on the side. That, to me, that's just ridiculous. I mean, maybe I'm not. Maybe it's just because there's God is in me that I don't want that. It's like, that's just dumb. But that people do that. They strive. You know, I always go, how come billionaires want more money? Why do they want more money? It's like, because that's their God. They have no peace. Their only peace is they think if they get more and more and more, they'll be secure. And you won't. You know, when you die, it's like Gabby has this little arch book, and it's about a guy who had so much grain that he built more granaries
And he fucking finally got them all done. And he's like, oh, I have all these granaries. And then he dies the next day. And it's like, you didn't take any of it with you. It's all still here on earth. It's so stupid. The only thing that's important is that you know God, and that so that you can spend eternity with him. This stuff is all temporal, and we make such a big deal about it. You know, when I was young, I wanted to have a massive house and nice cars and everything. I don't know, just one day a switch just flipped in my head, and I realized there is no joy in that. And then you got to take care of all that stuff. You know, you have to, the bigger the house you have, the more taxes you have to pay. And, you know, this world is not designed, it's not designed the way God wanted it designed. You know, somebody's always trying to cheat somebody out of something. And so it's designed to bless people who are crooked. So it's like, you have to have a God, and you have to go. Last week I was talking about it in my sermon. So I was using a language app, and they were very deceptive because they get you in with the, hey, here's a 1 month free trial. And you're like, okay, cool. And then they're like, hey, if you want to do it for a year, it's $9 a month. And you're like, oh, okay, I'll try it for another month. And then you find out that they bill you for an entire year. And so I was mad because they billed me for an entire year. And so I played their dumb game for an entire year. I mean, it was okay. I was learning Spanish. But I was angry with them. And so I knew it said I'd played the game for 330 days. I thought, so I have an entire month. You know, I'll cancel within 30 days. That way I don't get billed again. They billed me a month early. Oh, I was livid. I couldn't sleep. I was just arguing with them in my head, and I knew that they didn't care. And I'm like, it's this beast somewhere that takes my money and laughs at me and doesn't even care that they have my money. And you go to their website and it says, yeah, if we took your money, it's ours now. We don't care. It pretty much says that. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then God was talking to me, and he's like, exactly everything. Like I said, he'll bring into you what you need to hear. He's like, do I not own everything? Is everything not mine? Is it really all that important? I'm like, yeah, but God, they stole from me. He's like, do I not own everything? Is that really not important? You're like, and I'm like, well, I could go to the credit card company and dispute it. He's like, is not everything mine? You're like, all right, I'm just going to let it go. And then I had peace. I let it go. I wasn't angry at him anymore. It's just, you know, just, it's because they don't know God, and they have to deceive people to get their God, which is money. You know, it's funny because there's nothing wrong with money. The Bible doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money is evil, because then you're not loving God. You put money above God. There's a guy that wrote a book called The Prince. Because he worked for the Medici family, and then he did something, and they got angry at him, and they kicked him out. And so he wrote a book that said, it's okay if you're, as long as you're a good Christian, it's okay if you're totally immoral in your business life. That would be very enticing. You're like, man, I could totally just wreak havoc on all these unsuspecting people over here as long as I go to church once a month, you know, and say, God, I love you. You know, it's like, man, that's good. That's the best of both worlds. I can just be a crook and love God. You know, what's funny is they don't understand that God loves you anyways. It's like God doesn't. They're playing games with God. It's like, and it doesn't matter. It's like you're building something that's not even necessary. God already made provision for you being an idiot and evil. And it's his son. It's like, why are you, we're always, in our mind, I don't know what happened when Adam and Eve ate that apple, but in our mind, we're always trying to figure a way out to do it ourselves. It's because God gave us free will. And that's the most loving thing ever. And people don't understand that. They're like, yeah, but all this bad has happened. And you go back to, yeah, but God gave us free will to love him or not love him. If a man went up to a woman and said, you're going to marry me and you have to love me, that's not nice. I mean, that's not good. She needs to have the free choice. And that's what God gave to us. Hey, I want to marry you, but I'm going to leave it up to you whether you marry me or not. That's good.
You know, I mean, sometimes women turn men down. Yeah, you're not the deal. You're not it. So, you too, you're always kibitzing. I was going to get something at our local coffee place yesterday, and there was this is totally non sequitur. And I'm walking up, and there's this young girl. She's probably college age. She has the little Greek numbers on her shirt, and her parents are sitting there. And her mom says something to her, and she turns to her and like sticks her tongue out at her. And I say, I saw that, and she like turns bright red. That was funny to me. I thought that was hilarious. Was not offended by that at all. I thought that was fun. It's good to be able to be yourself. You know, if you want to stick your tongue out at your parents, stick your tongue out at your parents. You know, whatever. So it's like, that's what God wants us. God wants us to be ourselves with Him. He wants us to be, you know, I mean, like, remember the prodigal son? He came back and he was like, yeah, I'll just be a servant. I'll just be a servant for my dad. I messed everything up. I wasted everything. And he's trying to cover his own sins. He's trying to, you know, how can I get back in? And he shows up and his dad's like, welcome home. We're going to kill the calf and here's the robe and here's my ring. And he's like, no, I'll just be a servant. He's like, shut up. Come on in. I love you. It's like, we don't understand that. That does not make sense. We think we have to earn it. We don't. It's already been done. Jesus, from the beginning of time, you know, Dad always said the New Testament came first. That's weird, but it's not. Because God already had lined it all up. His plan is already there. He knew what He wanted to do. But like a meal, like I was saying with a meal, it takes time. Everything takes time. If God had just gone, Adam and Eve, heaven, you know, none of us would have gotten in. We wouldn't have been here. God took His time. He had a reason. He has people that He foresees that are going to be with Him in eternity. And we're like, God, when? And He's like, you know, right quickly, which is God quickly, not us quickly. Like, no, no. Because I'm always under the assumption that God is going to come back while I'm alive. And the older I get, I go, maybe not. It may not. Maybe it'll be another couple hundred years. Maybe I'll be dead. I always thought, it's funny, I want to be here when God comes back. That was my desire as a child. And I'm like, well, maybe I won't be here when God comes back. Maybe it'll be later. So, but that's okay, because I won't know. I'll die, and within a twinkle of an eye, all of a sudden, you know, it's funny, because I always think, the problem with eternity is you probably don't ever get to take any naps, and that's going to be horrible. And I think if you die, you get to take a really long nap before God comes back. And that way, you got to have all the rest of eternity to be awake. Isn't that a weird, dumb human thought? You don't get to take any naps. I don't know that. I don't know that you don't get to take any naps, but that's just my assumption. It's like, you know, because there, I don't know, is there a night and a day, you know? I mean, God created night and day for us. He created it. So does He have a night and day? You know, it's like, I don't know. That's just how your human brain works. You know, we just don't. It's fun to think about how God's been around for forever. You know, it'll hurt your head. People go, well, who created Him? Nobody created Him. When did He start? He's just always been. You're like, you can't. Your mind cannot comprehend that. It just, you'd explode and go nuts. Your brain just, because we don't, and it's like, how did the Israelites' clothes last forever? You know, how did God raise people from the dead? That's just not normal human things. But He's God. He can do whatever He wants. It's funny, because people say, well, you know, why does God let war happen and all this? And it's like, you know, God steps in when He needs to. He heals people. He, you know, keeps them out of car wrecks. He's got angels watching over us. God intervenes all the time. We have no idea how often God intervenes and keeps us from doing dumb things. This world is corrupt because we sinned. It's our fault. it's like, yeah. But, you know, people don't want to think that. People want to think they're good and moral and nice. And it's like, you're not.
It's always funny to me that, I mean, the closer we get to the end, it's the people that are the most immoral that think they're moral. And that's just funny to me. And they're always like, it stops you in your tracks because they're like, well, I'm moral. And you're like, no, you're not. But then you're like, you can't fight against that because they're not rational. You know, you can't, there's a saying that says it's easier to convince someone of a lie than to convince them that they've been lied to. And it's true. I mean, you can't tell people. I mean, there was a guy getting out of a car yesterday and he was wearing a mask. And I'm like, dude, there are 20 years of studies that prove that the mask is going to do nothing. And the big study they just did in Germany that proves the masks do nothing. Yes. And yet they wear them. I'm like, golly, there's even studies that say if you wear it, you're more likely to get sick. God designed our bodies. You know, I saw a meme the other day that said the problem with immune system is it's free. You can't charge for it. God designed that. He designed our immune system. And we mess it up. Every time I eat junk and then I get sick, I ate junk. And that's why I'm sick. It wasn't because God did anything wrong or didn't design me perfectly. He designed me perfectly. I just put the wrong input in. I put the wrong stuff in my body and my body goes, yeah, I've had too much of that. You're about to get sick. So, and that's stupid. And I know. I bring it on myself. You know, that's the same way with sin. You know, if you do, you just, you know, like I always say, whichever you feed more, your spirit or your flesh, is what's going to be the loudest in your brain. If you're constantly inputting flesh, that's what's going to be loudest, and that's what's going to come out of your mouth. But if you're constantly in the Word and constantly spending time with God, that's what you're going to hear, and that's what you're going to say, and that's what you're going to do. And it's okay if you do either. Just God has a better way. God has a better way. And He gave us the free will to choose. Remember, your salvation, once you're saved, you're saved. Nobody can take you out of the hand of God, no matter how awful you are. It just means you don't understand who God is. It means you're those five virgins who didn't have enough oil. If you're the five virgins that had enough oil, it means you understand who God is and you're constantly seeking Him and your lamp is full. We are salt and light, and our goal is to be fishers of men. And I have a hard time with that, because like I know there are people like you see the guy on the street with the car battery and the microphone and he's screaming at people that they're going to go to hell. I can't do that. I don't think that's God. It could be. Somebody may need to hear that. It may scare somebody into God, but to me that would turn. I remember one time when I was in college, I was working at this job, and this guy came up to me and he goes, "Do you know who God is?" I said, "Yeah, I know who God is." And he said something else. I said, "Well, my dad's a pastor." He goes, "Well, that doesn't make you a believer." And I'm like, "You need to let me finish, sir. First of all, you're offensive to me. You're going to turn a lot of people off by your aggressive behavior." You know, it's like that God, Jesus was not aggressive to people that needed to hear about Him. The only people He was aggressive to were the religious people. That's who He was aggressive to. To the rest of to Zacchaeus, He's like, "Hey, come on down from your tree. By the way, I want to have dinner at your house tonight." That's not aggressive. That's loving. You know, "Hey, I want to hang out with you. I want to tell you who I am. I want to show you who I am. I want to show you my love." And then Zacchaeus is like, "I don't deserve that." He's like, "Too bad. I'm loving on you anyway." Okay. And that was interesting. So when I got married into Mary's family, her family is very generous. And that was so hard for me. They would give me gifts that were stupid amounts of money. And I couldn't handle that. Because I didn't feel like I deserved it. And then God said to me one day, "I will bless you however I want to bless you. And you stop rejecting that blessing." And I was like, okay. I had to learn that. I had to learn to let God just bless me, you know, through business. God told me, that's funny. Like when I got married, I thought, well, now God has to take care of me because not only do I have to take care of myself, I have to take care of my wife. And then I had a child and I was like, well, not only that, now He's got to help me provide for Gabby. So I'm doubly covered. So He has to help me be able to make money so that I can provide. But, you know, God will provide. It doesn't have to be the normal way. Like I go out and work and then make money and provide. God can provide me for any way. It just randomly can, money can just show up, and it does periodically. It's just weird. It's just like, oh, we were short that money, and it just showed up, and now we paid our bills. I've been mad at the government because the government's taken all my money. But you know what? What did God say? Do I not have everything? And it's weird. I have no idea when we first got married how we ever survived. She had a part-time job and I had a part-time job and we made no money. And yet we paid our bills. We've always paid our bills. It's like, that's God. Could we have a little extra? It's like, do you need extra? Or do you just need to take care of what you got? Yeah, but a little extra would be nice. It'd be security. He goes, do you need that for security or do you need me for security? And you're like, all right. Okay. I always have friends that they'll prep or whatever. They're like, the world's going to fall apart. You need to do this. And so I'm like, well, if God didn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. I said, I could be like that guy who built all those granaries and saved up all that grain and then die the next day. Or, you know, or the world could fall apart and some guy could come in and take it all. And it's like, if God doesn't tell me to do it, I'm not going to do it. He probably got somebody else who's been saving up. And then when the world falls apart, God's going to go, I need you to go here and partake of this guy's stuff that he's been saving up. You know, it's like, I think God has a purpose for everybody. You know, we don't all do the same thing. If we all did the same thing, that would be boring. And so he made us all unique with all different gifts and all different talents. It's good to see God. God, what's my talent? How do you want to use me? God's just ready for you to, as Dad would always say, to die. Probably a couple of months ago, I had that real revelation. You go, well, I'm maturing. It's like, no, God doesn't want you maturing. He wants you dead. Maturity just thinks, then that's in your head. Well, I'm more mature, and I'm proud of that. You know, it's like, no, you just need to be dead. Be usable. Be a vessel. A vessel doesn't do anything but what it's designed to do. And that's good. And the thing is people think, that's awful. And I'm like, no, that's so freeing. There's so much freedom in that and peace and joy to know that I don't have to do anything. I can just say, God, just use me. God, I'm just going to show up and you just use me. And man, there's so much freedom in that. And that's wherever you're at the grocery store, at your job, you know, something that's happened in my life that I love and that just blesses me so much are I have men that come to me and want counsel. And I'm like, why? Anyways. And then God will just, I'll just open my mouth and God will just start speaking to them and it'll answer everything they needed. And it wasn't me. I wasn't prepared for that. I didn't go to seminary or counseling school or whatever. I just showed up. I was available and God uses me and they'll go, man, that was powerful. I'm like, yeah, that was powerful. Thanks, God. It was not me. That was God. God knew what they needed to hear. And he said, and I just said, I'm available. And he said, all right, if you're usable, then I'll use you. You know, he said, you know, if no one's usable, the rocks will cry out. If no one's usable, I'll get a donkey to talk. You know, he just needs somebody that's usable. And that's what's incredible. And we're it. We've chosen. We're in this church because we've said we're usable. This is not a church, this is not an amazing, fun church with, you know, a 20-piece choir and smoke and lights and all that kind of stuff. This is a church for real people who want to serve God and seek God and know the truth and grow with God. And then be a light to people. That's why you're here. All right, let's see where I'm at. Verse 24. Or am I further than that? Oh, yeah. This is the disciple witnessing about these other things, writing these things, and we know that his witness is true. And there are also many things, whatever Jesus did, which if any were witnessed singly, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books having been written. Amen. So, yeah, it's funny. When you read the Bible, it's just a snippet of just a tiny, tiny fraction of everything that God has done and Jesus has done. There's not enough books in the world to contain everything that God has done. I know. I mean, it's funny. I can think of all the things that I have noticed that God has done for me. That's just the things that I have noticed. And there are myriads of things that he's done that I haven't noticed. So I admonish you to just be a vessel, because, man, there's a lot of peace and joy in that, knowing you don't have to do it yourself. That in that book, the first thing to do is just sit. And then the second part is standing, and then the third part is, or sit, walk, and then stand. Standing is actually the best part, because it's not an attack position, it's a defensive position. God already won the battle, and you're just there to be part of the army that won. It's like, I'm just standing there with God. Here's the general. He already won. And I'm like, here I am. We won the battle. And I didn't do anything, but we won. Woohoo! It's like, it's awesome. You know, you're just there. It's awesome. Learn to let God bless you the way He wants to bless you, and don't think that you're not worthy. Because, I mean, humanly, we're not. But He didn't say that. He said, you're the bride of Christ. You are righteous. You are holy. Because, you know, you go, well, God, I'm a sinner. That's what David did. Remember, David was like, he would go, everybody's attacking me, and I'm awful. And then by the end, he'd go, glory to God. You know, and he realized, you love me. You know, if you start there, you always have to end with, oh, yeah, you love me, and I'm holy, and I'm righteous. So it's okay to be, yeah, I'm wicked, and I'm stupid, and I wasted time and threw away money and whatever, you know. And then God goes, that's okay. I have everything. I just want to bless you. And we win. Yay! I used to have a bumper sticker, and it said, poop on Satan. That was my favorite bumper sticker. I was sad when I had to give that car away, because that sticker was stuck on that car. So, anyway, God is good. We're His vessels to be used, and it's fun to be used by God. It's incredible. But don't. I want to say, you have to have the right reason for it. It can't just be people are always chasing the feeling or the desire or the whatever. That's not it. If you're chasing that, you're not dead. It has to be, God, you just do whatever you want, and I don't need any glory from it. I don't want anything from it. When you know who God is, then all that other stuff just falls away, because you realize it's empty and vain. So seek yourself and go, and just know. And if that stuff shows up, you just know that's God showing you, and that He's going to work on that. That's the fun thing. God said, when God shows you something, that's not for you to do anything about. That's for you to know that that's what God's working on next. He doesn't take care of all your sins at one time. That'd be nice. Immediately, God, just get rid of all my sins. That would be great. But that's not the way God does things. God takes His time. He's gentle. God is always gentle. He doesn't just do things abruptly and just shake you to the core. He just, you know, He's meek and quiet and gentle. Even though He's God, it's like Jordan Peterson says, a man should know that he could destroy things. He has the power to destroy things, but he doesn't. It's not exactly how he says it. It's like, he has the power to destroy things, but he doesn't. You know, that's who God is. God has the power to do whatever He wants, but He's so gentle with us, and He doesn't. We deserve death, and He gives us mercy and righteousness. It's like, wow, I don't deserve that, but I thank You. And then you go, but thank You, God, that You're giving it to me, and you just receive it, and you enjoy it. And don't feel guilty about that He did that. Don't feel guilty that He blesses you. Just enjoy the blessing. Because that's what God wants to do. My daughter can be so naughty. You're late, man. We're almost done. My daughter can be so naughty. And I still want to bless her. And that's stupid, because she deserves punishment. But I still want to bless her, because she's my daughter. And I'm an earthly father. I'm not a heavenly father. God's not worried about our sin. He already told us He'd take care of our sin. He just wants us to, you know, be part of His family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your desire for us. Thank You for being slow and deliberate with us, so that we don't miss anything.
And thank you for repeating it over and over again so that we don't miss anything. Thank you for giving us this book so that we could see firsthand what your desire is. I pray that you bless all these people here today. Keep them safe as they move around the city, and let all their conversations be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Wahoo!